Practice, who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday morning, October 16th, 2015. Hope you're having a great Friday so far. Moving into the weekend, right now it's sunny out there in most of our listening audiences across Michigan and northwestern Ohio, but it is going to cloud up and we could have some rain, and it's going to be chilly. Tomorrow, it's going to be in the mid to upper 40s, depending on where you live. In southeastern Michigan, we'll see a high of 49, and pretty close to that, maybe a little cooler in other parts of the state, and again, in northwestern Ohio. We do hope you can join us. We still have room for our big Catholic Sanity tomorrow, our conference that's coming up in Dearborn. It's going to be a great day. We have a nice lunch for you. We'll have all kinds of resources there, a number of different events going on in terms of presentations. Al's doing some great talks, and I'm doing a talk on all the news that's fit to twist. I'll do a case study of my own experience. And then I'm talking about what in the world happened to the women's movement. How was it hijacked by radical feminists and abortion, contraception, and the overall sexual revolution proponents? You may be surprised to learn that when it first began, that really wasn't the goal. The goal was equality in the workplace. The goal was actually based on what Betty Friedan and some other women had experienced on the job when they were trying to also raise a family. And then all of a sudden the forces, including one of the people behind it, who eventually came over to the pro-life side and became a Catholic, Dr. Bernard Nathanson. So anyway, some interesting background, and we'll take a look at what the church has to say about all this in my second presentation, We've Come a Long Way, Baby. We'll have books, we'll have resources, we'll have lunch, we'll have Q&A. I hope you can join us. The link to the conference is right on our homepage at AveMariaRadio.net. Coming up on the program today on a Friday morning, too, hope you can stay tuned for the entire 2 hours. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, including one of my favorite saints. It's coming up this morning, 8:15. We're going to be talking about the Frassati Society, of course. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. There's going to be a young adult holy hour. It's for the synod, but the emphasis is going to be on hopefully bringing back the young adult group regarding Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. What a great example for young people. If you don't know much about him, look him up. He is phenomenal and actually came from a very wealthy family and rejected that wealth and did whatever he could to promote the faith, especially among the poor. And he died after he became sick, after giving up his coat to a poor man. And he would always go into the neighborhood some in Torino and help those in need. And that often would mean literally taking the shirt right off of his back. But he had a wonderful personality, loved the Lord. And there's a movement afoot right now to bring that back and bringing young people together to remember who Blessed George, Pier Giorgio Frassati is, and then also to pray for the synod that's taking place today, and we'll tell you all about that. 8:35, Heidi Bratton is going to be joining us. She has a new book, Finding Peace in Everyday Challenges, endorsed by a number of people, including our own Father John Mercado and Debbie Herbeck, as well as another friend of mine, Lisa Hendy. It has 100 short meditations revolving around seven areas in which women need peace. And so I look forward to having Heidi on this morning at 8:35. And then we're also going to be in the National Hour talking with Matt Swaim from the Sunrise Morning Show. This Sunday is World Mission Sunday, so our friend Father Andrew Small, who's always great, will be on with us. And then we'll wrap up a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection talking with Dr. Michael Manhart, who's executive director of the Couple to Couple League. They have a new program that's available, a full course of NFP in a self-paced online format. Found out about this at the World Meeting of Families. And I said, you know, if you can come on and talk about it, that would be a great topic and it would be great information for people, especially making it more user-friendly. So I'll be talking with the doctor, and that will come up at 9:39. And, of course, we'll take your questions at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. 7825. If you get a chance, I'm going to see if I can post this on my Facebook page this morning, but there's a great article that's written by the wonderful Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles, the one, the only Archbishop, or Bishop Barron, I should say. I'm sure he's going to be an Archbishop pretty soon, no doubt, in a couple of years. Really great piece talking about what real mercy is, what mercy is and what mercy isn't. And what I think is so beautiful about it is he takes a look at the way the media are so head over heels in love with the Holy Father, which is fine, he says. That's great. I mean, the Pope is very easy to love. He's warm, he's welcoming, and he just is always, you know, reflecting Christ and the Holy Spirit. But what Father Barron says, or Bishop Barron says, is that we need to remember that when we're talking about mercy, the Pope is not decidingly declaring, quote unquote, I'm okay, you're okay. He is calling people to conversion. And that's what so many people out there in the secular world forget. They think the Holy Father is saying, everything's fine, do whatever you want to do, nothing's a big deal, you know, you'll just whatever, do whatever you want to do. That's not the case. What he is doing, again, is calling people to a conversion, because that's what happened to him. That's actually how he entered the priesthood, after a very powerful experience in confession. So I'll see if I can post that, and hopefully during the show I can share some more bits and pieces of it with you, because it's really good. The title of the article is Pope Francis and True Mercy. In speaking of mercy and inclusivity, the Pope is decidedly not declaring, I'm okay, you're okay. Instead, as the bishop says, he is indeed calling people to true conversion. So good stuff, as always, from Bishop Barron, and a real true reflection on the Holy Father. All right, let's take a look at the news and see what's going to be happening for your weekend. Hey, you know, if you come see us, you don't have to worry about the weather, because you'll be inside. Today, partly cloudy skies, giving way to occasional showers in the afternoon, high of 54. This is for southeastern Michigan. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning and some clouds in the afternoon, chilly, high of 49 degrees. And on Sunday, except for a few afternoon clouds, it'll be very nice, a nice fall day, but it will be chilly, a high of around 50. If we head up on 75 to Berger Broadcasting Territory, cloudy, high of 44. Tomorrow could get some rain, a high of 43, and on Sunday, cloudy and a high of 47. Moving over to the western portion of the state, rain this morning, overcast skies, a high of 49. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high of 48, and on Sunday, sunny and clouds at times, a mixture, kind of a combination, I guess, and a high of 54 degrees. If we go to the Thumb area, Saginaw, Flint, Bay City, more of the same. You're actually going to get some rain today, mixture of clouds and a high near 50, mixture of clouds and sun in the morning tomorrow, a high of 47, partly cloudy skies in the morning and then cloudy later on in the day and a high of 49 degrees. And very similar for our listeners in Toledo and northwest Ohio. Right now in Ann Arbor, it is 35 degrees and the temperature anywhere from 37 up north to about 42 degrees in the Detroit area. It is 8:07. It's a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to this program, which is produced by, of course, both Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Let's take a look and see what's happening in and around our world on this Friday, October 16th, 2015. While the Church's teaching on marriage and the family is universal and not something local bishops' conferences can decide for themselves, that's according to the head archbishop from Ireland. Archbishop Martin, who heads the church in that country, said he did not support the idea that somehow it's up to individual bishops and conferences to interpret the teaching of the church. He said, I think if we're part of a universal teaching church, then we do have a very clear vision for marriage and the family. And I don't think the subject should be, well, open to interpretation at the level of individual episcopal conferences. He said this in an interview with the newspaper The Irish Catholic. Archbishop Martin is moderating one of the four English language discussion circles at the Synod of Bishops underway at the Vatican to talk about the vocation and mission of the family. His remarks come after bishops have indicated a desire to localize decisions on church doctrine and practice. For example, in February, the German bishops indicating that they would take their own program of pastoral care for marriage and the family, regardless of the Synod's outcome. Meanwhile, Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia voicing great concern about such proposals, mentioning this in his October 10th intervention at the Synod, warning against devolving important disciplinary and doctrinal issues to bishops' conferences, especially when pressure in that direction is accompanied by an implicit spirit of self-assertion and resistance. Israel going to ban Palestinians accused of attacking Israel's from the eastern part of the city. The Israeli government also announcing it will ban suspected attackers' families from the area. Most Palestinians who live in East Jerusalem are not citizens of Israel or the Palestinian Authority. They carry out residency permits issued by the country of Israel. Now, the residency bans come as violence between Palestinians and Israelis has increased in recent weeks. Most recently, it was reported overnight that Palestinians had torched a West Bank site revered by Jews as the final resting place of the Old Testament figure Joseph. Meanwhile, presidential spokesman Josh Earnest is saying there's been too much loss of life in the past few weeks in violence between Palestinians and Israelis.
The United States mourns any loss of innocent life, whether it's Israeli or it's Palestinian.
In his daily briefings, Earnest urging both sides to take steps to de-escalate tensions. Earlier, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rejecting claims his country is using excessive force to deal with violence and also with the Palestinians. He told a Jerusalem news briefing Israel is doing what any country would do while under attack. Netanyahu is scheduled for a White House visit next month. Republicans are largely supporting President Obama's decision, as Joe Gomez reports, to keep those troops in Afghanistan.
GOP frontrunner Donald Trump says he agrees with President Obama's decision to delay the troop drawdown from Afghanistan.
Well, I agree with that announcement because, frankly, if you look at what happened with Iraq, we should have never been in Iraq in the first place. But when we took the troops out, that was the end of that. And now Iran is taking over Iraq.
Speaking with Fox News, Trump says American troops should eventually leave Afghanistan. Texas Representative Max Thornberry also says he agrees with what President Obama is doing.
It's better than the alternative. And I've gotten to the point where anytime the president makes a national security decision that's not a disaster, I'm grateful for it.
I'm Joe Gomez.
A man accused of hacking U.S. security data to provide targets for ISIS is under arrest in Malaysia. Malaysian police say they arrested a 20-year-old man from Kosovo on charges of hacking into the personal information of more than 1,000 American security officials. Police said last night they believe the man gave the information to ISIS terrorists in Syria so they can target those U.S. officials. And the Taliban is promising to step up attacks against U.S. targets in Afghanistan. The terrorist group calling the Obama administration's decision to slow the withdrawal of American troops illogical. The Taliban spokesman said today the change in plans won't stop insurgent forces from carrying what the spokesman called their fast-moving jihad against U.S. forces. French train hero Spencer Stone back home after spending nearly a week in the hospital recovering from stab wounds.
He was very appreciative of the care that he received here, as were the other members of his family.
Phyllis Brown with the UC Davis Medical Center says Airman Stone's prognosis is good. He underwent surgery last week for multiple stab wounds he received during a street fight in Sacramento. Police are still searching for two suspects in that attack. Stone, one of three men hailed as heroes for thwarting a would-be attacker on a Paris train over the summer. Authorities are looking for the man who left a semi-automatic rifle wrapped up on the floor under Utah's Capitol Rotunda. Utah Highway Patrolman Captain Barton Blair says the man simply came in with the package and then left.
It appeared to us that he knelt down by the package and offered a silent prayer or was saying some words and got up and left.
Capitol was evacuated yesterday afternoon after the man left that package. Investigators with the Highway Patrol say they do have some leads in the case, but they're still looking for information from the public. Investigators say the rifle wasn't loaded, but didn't say there was any ammo inside it. There was also apparently some writing on the package, but investigators did not say what that was either. Officials hoping to reopen the Capitol sometime today. The cleanup continues, as Jason Caponodian reports, after those massive mudslides hit Los Angeles County.
Severe flooding and thunderstorms yesterday caused mud and debris to flow down mountain ranges in the northern section of the county, swallowing cars with people trapped inside. Aerial footage shows SUVs and trucks floating in a river of murky water. Several roads were washed out, and the 5 freeway near Fort Tejon had to be completely closed. Rescue crews have been sent to the area from all over the county to help people get out of their cars and see what kind of destruction the storm left in its wake. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
And three people hurt after being struck by falling glass from a building in Manhattan. It happened around 6:45 Eastern time last night at 5th Avenue and 28th Street. And this man says he thought it was an explosion of sorts.
It was just a loud smash. I mean, it sounded like it exploded. I heard glass coming, and I just ducked and covered right behind this mailbox right here.
Fire officials say the glass fell from the upper level of the building. No word yet on the cause. None of the injuries life-threatening. And finally, in our news segment at 8:14 on a Friday morning, October 16, 2015, U.S. Air, final flight taking off from Philadelphia this morning after flight 1939 leaves Philly at 10:05 Eastern. It will make stops in Charlotte, Phoenix, and San Francisco and return to Philly Saturday morning under the American Airlines banner. The airlines merged nearly 2 years ago. You're listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Our phone lines are open. That number, 877-573-7825. Praying for the Synod Fathers, a special event for young adults coming up in southeastern Michigan. We'll tell you all about that next, plus a beautiful book now available for women. 100 Meditations is a book endorsed by, among others, Debbie Herbeck, Father John Ricardo, and Lisa Hendy. In our national hour, looking forward to that as well. We're going to be talking with Father Andrew Small about Mission Sunday and a brand new program on natural family planning. Very cool stuff. We'll be right back. It's a Friday. Stay tuned. You're listening to Catholic Connection.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Ave Maria Radio's upcoming conference, Cultural Madness and Catholic Sanity, is not just about the state of the world, but about the state of our souls. It's about seeking holiness and becoming the saints Christ has called us to be. When Jesus called me to himself, he called me to be conformed to his life. Likewise, St. Paul writes, to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed through the renewing of our minds. Worldliness, or being squeezed into the mold of this world, or adopting the priorities of money, sex, and power rather than the kingdom of God, has been a constant challenge to Christians. We'll take a hard look at how American culture seduces us and how the Spirit of God has given us the resources to resist and become the saints we are called to be. So join Teresa Tomeo and me on October 17th for Cultural Madness, Catholic Sanity, Living and Loving Without Illusion in the Next America. Information is at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ave Maria Radio is grateful for our sponsors of the conference, Cultural Madness and Catholic Sanity. Please support the Archdiocese of Detroit, Young Adult and Campus Ministry, Harmon Autoglass, and Arbor Women Pregnancy Medical Center for their support of Ave Maria Radio and our outreach to the community. Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church. The Cathedral Cultural Series presents the University of Michigan Men's Glee Club in concert Friday, October 23rd at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Detroit. The world-famous chorus will perform four premieres that will surely move you. General admission tickets are $10. The concert is at 8 p.m. For more information, please write to sacredmusic@aod.org or call 313-237-5782. That's 237-5782.
Has been, always will be, because he's God and we are not. 877-573-7825. Hope you're having a blessed Friday morning. Enjoy speaking with you every day through the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN Catholic Connection on a Friday morning. 877-573-7825. Let's pray for the Synod Fathers. We have 1 week left in the Synod, and it's been going pretty well so far, I think. There's been some confusion, of course, and there's always those efforts inside that are trying to, turn teachings on its head. I don't know what history books they're reading, but anyway, pray for them. That's actually what's going to be happening tonight. There is going to be a special Young Adult Holy Hour for the Synod. And on the phone with me to talk about this from the Archdiocese of Detroit, his full-time job actually is the Working in Technology for the Moderator of the Curia, and that would be, of course, my friend Monsignor McClory. But on the phone with me right now is Marco De Capita, who works very closely with the Monsignor and with the Archdiocese in all things technical, so to speak, but has a big, big interest in working with young people, and so we're going to talk about that this hour. Hey, Marco, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too, Teresa. Good morning.
Good morning, and I know you're fresh back from the Parish Soft Conference where I spoke earlier this week. It was a great conference, wasn't it?
It was phenomenal. That conference, they do a great job, and they really bring in the faith into it. And it's more than just about a software product. It's about, you know, the mission in the church and leveraging technology to really bring the message of Christ.
Oh, well, beautiful. Well, I know that's what you work on doing as well in many different ways. And tell me about the Young Adult Holy Hour that's going on.
Well, you know, the Frasati Society has been around for about 12 years, and we've had this Holy Hour, which actually predates the Frasati Society. That's been going on for almost 16 years, every third Friday of the month. And many of us young adults or former young adults who have aged out of that target range of the 18 to 35-year-olds have gone on to vocations. We've had wonderful vocations come through the Frasati Society. Even the secretary to the Archbishop, Father Pullis, is a former Frasati member. And so we've had both religious vocations and wonderful marriage vocations come through it. So as a result of many of us aging out of it, we really wanted to focus on, in a sense, rebooting the Holy Hour and engaging the current young adults to come and join us. And so tonight we have Monsignor Ron Brown, also from the tribunal in the Archdiocese, but he's also the secretariat for the Synod on the New Evangelization, which is being sponsored by the Archdiocese next year, not to be confused with a synod going on in Rome right now, but he's going to come and really engage the young adults, invite them to come and pray on a monthly basis for the synod, and to reignite this holy hour and the passion around Pier Giorgio Frassati, who is quite a role model for the new evangelization.
When did you first hear about Pier Giorgio Frassati?
Well, that's an interesting story. I actually was in Rome in with my family in 1990, and we were there on a family trip. And there was a time in my life where I was not really engaged in my faith. I did go to Mass weekly, but I truly wasn't living my faith. And my mom said, "Hey, there's this young man being beatified in Rome, and the Pope John Paul II is going to be there." And so we went to this big event about this young man being beatified, and knew nothing about him. He went, wonderful experience, kind of forgot about him, and had my reversion several years later in 1994 in Medjugorje. And coming back to faith about 10 years later, I was in Denver, and where I got to know my wife, and there was a Frassati Society there, and I remember the name, and I was like, "Who is this Frassati guy? It sounds so familiar," and found the program to the original beatification ceremony that I was at in 1990, and rediscovered who he was, and finally read a book about him, and was just really touched by his life. It really spoke to me, and then my background and growing up in a well-to-do family, but really having a passion that developed for our Lord.
Yeah, he was such a dynamo. He died so young, though, you know?
He did. He did, and it's humbling to know that what he achieved in 24 short years of life, that just how much impact he had on people. You know, he was an average guy. He was going to college. He was studying mining engineering. Of course, his focus was to serve Christ among the miners. He would take his friends out on retreat and go hiking in the mountains. And he really wanted to just bring, he just was focused on building this friendship centered in Christ. So just being a beacon of hope for the poor, and no one really knew how much he was doing for the poor. He was going into the slums of Turin,
right, right,
and bringing food and medicine. And
well, which is eventually how he died, because he got sick, because he would literally give his coat and his shirt off of his back.
Exactly. Even on his deathbed, it was riding in pain from polio and writing notes to his sister to make sure to get the medicines for someone in the slums. It just is incredible how selfless he was right up to the last moments of his death.
But the other thing he was, too, that's really, really important if we're going to bring people in, is that he was joyful. He was a practical joker. He loved life.
Indeed. He was, and that's one of the things that just inspires me about him. Just he was just full of joy. We recently had a troupe here perform a Frassati play, actually, and Michelle Kuhar has helped lead the production of this play. And just the inspiration of his life and his joy is just shown through that, how, you know, he would just kid around with his buddies, and they called themselves the sinister ones, or the, you know, just kind of making fun of who they were, and always playful.
So again, the Holy Hour tonight is designed to pray for the Synod, but the other idea really is to bring young adults together, correct?
Exactly. And we're looking at this Holy Hour, you know, more than just, you know, we're not trying to draw people away or create a whole other young adult group necessarily, but we're trying to, as Pure Georgia was about bringing friends together in Christ, we want this Holy Hour to be a point where all the young adult groups around the area can come together and pray together. You know, those that are drawn to the spirituality and the charism of Frassati, then great. We want people to help, you know, join and support that mission and sharing that charism. And because, again, he is a role model for the new evangelization in all that he did, and his commitment to truth, his commitment to standing up. He'd be part of all-night adoration groups. He was a third-order Dominican. He just was a really diverse young man and truly Catholic in all aspects of his life, as Pope John Paul II called him, the man of the eight Beatitudes.
Well, I think, too, it's really important to remember that he came from a very, very wealthy family, and he didn't agree with his family on a lot of things, especially in terms of the wealth. And also his family, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't they the founders of La Stampa newspaper?
Yes, he was. His father was the founder and editor-chief of La Stampa in Turin, later became an ambassador to Germany. And, you know, he would join with his father on fighting fascism, but they definitely butted heads in a lot of other areas. So it was definitely a tenuous relationship. But he always was he tried to be respectful. He tried to be, you know, he was concerned about his relationship with his parents, which was strained at the time, and always was looking forward to ways to make sure that stayed healthy. You know, he was committed to trying to restore peace in his family.
Yeah.
Even to the point where he was sacrificing a great love interest he had in somebody, he knew that would further break the family apart. And because of that, he refrained from expressing his feelings to this young woman.
Yeah. But he talks about in his quotes about how sacrifice isn't suffering when you have your faith.
Right. It did. I mean, he was joyful through it all. I mean, he just, again, in spite of it, he maintained that joy. And you can just see it, and some of the pictures of him are just phenomenal. Yeah. He's just bursting out in laughter, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, let me let you wrap up, Marco, in terms of reminding us of the event, but then also, how is the Frassati Society doing in our area, and are there other events planned in the near future?
Well, we do. We actually do have an ongoing men's group on a regular basis, and, of course, we have the Holy Hour. We are part of this looking to engage young adults who have a passion on Pure Georgia to spark and continue to expand the events. We're trying to connect and build connection with the Archdiocese and all that's going on there, and really looking to just be an ongoing source of inspiration for other young adults. So as far as tonight goes, the doors open at 7:30 p.m. at the National Shrine of the Little Flower. We're going to have confession available. Father Mike Lenz, Franciscan, will be there for confession. Holy Hour starts at 8 o'clock, and there will be some refreshments and gathering and social time after the Holy Hour. So Monsignor Ron Brown will be presiding over that, and we'd love to have any young adults come and join us and just to come pray and learn about the Synod. And we're also looking for those that really want to learn more about Pure Georgia Frassati and to help continue to expand that ministry.
Is there information, or will there be information about the Frassati Society tonight?
There will be a little bit. We'll be sharing some of that. We are going to probably be offering some opportunities to get a free book on Pure Georgia Frassati. And we're going to be, you know, sharing upcoming events and things going on around the area. So we really want to get young adults to commit to this Holy Hour for the next year, to pray for the Synod, for our archdiocese, and to continue to expand the events. We really want the young adults to own this and to help connect other young adults and bring us together in prayer and spirituality and that friendship in Christ, which was so important to Pure Georgia.
So when you're talking about the Synod, remind our listeners, if they're just tuning in the Holy Hour, the prayer for the Synod, you're talking about both the Synod on the new evangelization here, but also the Synod in Rome, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so both, yeah, because the Evangelization Synod is coming up right here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and then we continue to pray for our Synod Fathers in Rome as they have one more week left, and we continue to pray that they will discern effectively in giving advice to the Holy Father as he prepares to put together an apostolic exhortation after the Synod. Marco, is there a website or a phone number for more information?
We do have a website. It's a bit out of date, but it's frasatidetroit.org, and Frasati is F-R-A-S-S-A-T-I, Detroit.org. But probably more relevant is in Facebook. If you search on Frasati Detroit, there is a Facebook page and a group, Frasati Society Detroit, that young adults are welcome to join to stay connected to ongoing events and updates.
All right. So what's the age frame for young adults? I'm sure I surpassed it a long time ago, but just what's the age one thing?
We really focus on the 18 to 35-year-olds.
Okay. Well, I missed that boat about 20 years. Okay. Gotcha. 18 to 35.
Yes, I'm well beyond that as well. And Chris Gowell here at the Archdiocese has really been helping us to engage the young adults on that, and he's our young adult coordinator here in the Archdiocese. So we've been working closely with him and our Evangelization Synod team to keep, and really it's to connect young adults, not just with each other, but we want to be connected as a church, as the Archdiocese of Detroit, and make sure they have a voice and presence with us.
What about if they feel like they're 25 or 35? Can those people still feel like they're in that age group?
we don't turn anyone away. You know, we really want to, of course, the young adults are the heart and the have that great love that we want to connect them and bring them in. But if you've got that heart of a youth, come pray. You know, church, Christ doesn't turn anyone away. He's there waiting for us to come and be with him in the Eucharist. And
all Italian Americans, being that he is of Italian heritage, originally from Torino. So I'm just saying, okay?
We got, yes, you know, hey.
All are welcome, but it is specifically to keep the young adult movement and the Frasati Society strong. So that's great. The time again, Marco?
Tonight, 7:30, doors open. 8 o'clock is the holy hour.
Awesome. And this is at Shrine. Thanks so much. It was great to see you again. Great to be with you at the Parish Soft Conference. Let me close with a few quotes from Blessed Pier Giorgio Frasati. In God's marvelous plan, divine providence often uses the tiniest twigs to do good works. What would be life without acts of charity? When you are totally consumed by the Eucharist fire, then you will be able more consciously to thank God who has called you to become part of his family. Then you will enjoy the peace that those who are happy in this world have never experienced, because true happiness of young people does not consist in the pleasures of this world or in earthly things, but in peace of conscience, which we only have if we are pure of heart and mind. We who, by the grace of God, are Catholics must not squander the best years of our lives, as so many unhappy young people do, who worry about enjoying the good things in life, things that do not, in fact, bring any good, but rather the fruit of immorality in today's world. We must prepare ourselves to be ready and able to handle the struggles we will have to endure to fulfill our goals, and in so doing, to give our country happier and more healthier days in the near future. But in order for this to happen, we need the following. Constant prayer to obtain God's grace, without which all of our efforts are in vain. Organization and discipline to be ready for action at the right moment. And finally, we need to sacrifice our own passions, indeed our very selves, because without this sacrifice, we will never achieve our goal. Great wisdom from someone who passed away and went to be with the Lord so young. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frasati, pray for us. And those of you who are still in that young adult category from 18 to 35, you are welcome to attend a beautiful hour of prayer tonight, a young adult holy hour, part of the Frasati Society in Detroit, and also praying for both the Synod here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and also, of course, for our Synod Fathers who are still working hard in Rome. It is a Friday morning. It's 8:33. We'll be right back.
WeatherGuard has been protecting Michigan homes for nearly three decades. But what about the earth, our common home? With the latest innovations in windows and insulation, WeatherGuard is dedicated to products that last well beyond the low standards set by our throwaway culture and are carefully engineered to cut energy costs and reduce the impact we have on our common home. Visit WeatherGuard.com to get a free estimate and learn how you can do your part to reduce energy consumption. We're WeatherGuard, and we're here to protect your home.
Did you know that Ave Maria Town in Southwest Florida is really growing?
Tell me about it.
Ave Maria truly is one of the nation's fastest-growing master-planned new home communities.
Is that because there's no snow?
Well, the weather sure helps, but Ave Maria, Florida is a unique place.
How so?
The town of Ave Maria has been designed as a hometown for the 21st century, a place where residents of different generations and backgrounds can find all they need to live life to the fullest. School, shopping, employment opportunities, and more. In addition, the presence of Ave Maria University, a Catholic university that is both excellent and affordable.
Sounds great. What else?
Houses are being sold starting in the low 200s with several communities to choose from. There's a private Catholic K-12 school along with golf, bike trails, a fitness center, not to mention several daily masses and adoration within walking distance.
So how can I arrange a visit?
Call Carol at 239-249-2111. That's Carol Carpenter at Berkshire Hathaway, 239-249-2111.
Jesus knew the power of a good story. And his parables teach us lessons that help us love like him. The Parable Project tells the stories Jesus told, using drama, audience participation, and improv to bring home the messages of the gospel. The Parable Project is a drama ministry ready to visit your school, your church, or your organization. To book the Parable Project, please call 313-359-1736. The Parables by the Author of the Universe.
Ugly. Fat. Worthless, undesirable. Not how you would expect modern American women to describe themselves, but unfortunately those are just a few of the negative terms women do tell themselves when they look in the mirror, thanks to all the images and messages coming from our culture. Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, and I certainly hope you can join me and Al Cresta at our upcoming conference, Cultural Madness, Catholic Sanity, at the Ford Motor Company Conference and Event Center. The body image issue is just one of those topics we'll be tackling. I'll also be taking a look at the objectification of women, the real war on women, and how violence in relationships has been normalized thanks to the mainstreaming of porn. We'll give you plenty of resources to help protect your family and also make a difference. That's Cultural Madness, Catholic Sanity, Living and Loving Without Illusion in the New America. Saturday, October 17th from 9:30 to 4:30 at the Ford Motor Company Conference and Event Center in Dearborn. Check out AveMariaRadio.net for more information and to register.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The triumph of the Immaculate Heart and the reign of the Sacred Heart. What does it mean? What must we do? Knowing changes everything. Come here, Tony Mullen, National Director of the Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart, seen on EWTN's Women of Grace, and Maria Mezeros, International Speaker on the Flame of Love. Friday, October 16th in Farmington Hills at the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament from 6 to 8 p.m. and Saturday, October 17th in Ann Arbor at St. Thomas the Apostle Church. 9 a.m. Holy Mass and Rosary with speakers from 10:30 to 1 p.m. Free will donations accepted.
It's a beautiful little book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, 100 Meditations for Women by my guest, Heidi Bratton. And I was joking with her during the break. She's got some great endorsements. Of course, Deborah Herbeck from Renewal Ministries and my friend Lisa Hendy from CatholicMom.com and now Ave Maria Press. And, of course, the one, the only, Father John Ricardo from Ave Maria Radio and Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish. How did you find time to actually, or how did he find time to sit down and actually write an endorsement? He is so, so busy.
I think he's one of the key people we can look at to say, how does he maintain peace and relationship with Jesus in the midst of all these activities? Well, there you go. He took the time to read this little book and help me out and endorse. So he's obviously got some keys. He's got some ideas, and I hope a couple of them in the book that he liked.
All right. So why did you decide to write this? Because you're busy. You're a busy mom. Is that the main reason? What were you thinking when you sat down to do these meditations?
No, you know what happens? I'm approaching that 50 mark, Teresa, and what I'm seeing is that what I thought I could do, the dance I thought I was doing with life back in my 20s and 30s, it's changing. You know, the tempo is changing. I'm going through different seasons, and I had a editor approach me and say, you know, how do you maintain peace? How do you think women could maintain peace based on a relationship with Jesus? And put a little thought into that, and I thought, yeah, there's really a lot of areas in our life that change. They're dynamic. And I really came up with this image of having to learn a new dance at every different season, and it takes us off guard. It sends us whirling across the dance floor, right? Mm-hmm. And I introduced in the book this idea that balance isn't the thing. The thing is holding on to Jesus, holding on to our faith, and letting him lead, letting him teach us the new dance steps we'll need. For example, I don't know about you, but, you know, starting in my 20s, young career, then young family, it was a waltz. I had it down. I could kind of get right through, and then, oh, my goodness, the tempo changed. I didn't even realize it, and I need to do the cha-cha to get through young babies and now carpools, and, you know, maybe breakdancing gets in there when you've got teenagers. But each of those kind of disturbs our peace. It brings us to a different place, and it's holding on to Jesus that keeps us going, that helps us to learn that new dance and not get knocked flat on the floor, basically.
Yeah, because he's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever, and that's what we have to remember.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. And he promises. That's the thing. And this is the prayer. After each of the 100 meditations, the prayer is, Lord Jesus, you are my peace. And so, you know, 100 times, hopefully, praying that as they're reading the meditations. And for me, it's actually become a very important prayer. I'm in the middle of something. It's not peaceful. It's conflict in a relationship, or it's conflict with something going on in the culture that's really disturbing me. And I just say, Lord Jesus, you are my peace. And that's, it's been just profound in the way it kind of centers my thoughts and brings me back to truth, not what's sending me off again, you know, in a whole different spin on the dance floor of life there.
Don't you find, too, that when you are saying that prayer, that he will affirm you in many ways, in little signs and wonders? Maybe you'll open the Bible and a scripture verse will pop up, or someone will come up to you and say something that you were just feeling, or affirm. He will make himself known in very, very real ways.
Absolutely. And personally, that's what's so surprising to me, always, personally. The other day, I think earlier this week, I was just struggling with the idea that life is a journey. There's really no wrapping it all up, and things don't come neatly. And I was just like, I'm not a journey person. I'm a destination person. I want to be there. I want to have this peace thing down and go on to the next thing, right? That's my idea. But it doesn't work that way. And the meditation in the Magnificat for that very day was the idea of journeying towards heaven. And basically it said, get over it, Heidi. It's a journey.
Yeah, and it's a constant journey. Yeah, but it was very personal. I love when that happens. I had that profound experience at the beginning of the Synod, Sunday, October 4th, and I was really very given a lot of peace from the readings that Sunday, because I've been hearing from so many listeners their concerns about the Synod and the German bishops and the watering down of the faith. And I'm not concerned about church teaching changing, but I am concerned about confusion and people being impacted. And I was praying for peace and for the ability to be able to calmly and collectively communicate what is really happening at the Synod versus what the media in the secular world are saying. And so after Mass, I was speaking in Pennsylvania, in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I walked into the Adoration Chapel, and the first thing I saw was the verse, "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46:10, on the back of the, behind the altar. And I was like, okay, I got you. You got this. You're God. I'm not.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So in terms of the meditations, do you take them, did you focus on different experiences in your life?
So what I did is I kind of sat down and thought, and it seemed to me that there were 7 kind of categories of areas of our life that we needed to be peaceful in, and they were pretty distinct, actually. And just for a couple, they were like, you know, peace in our human relationships, peace in our relationship with the Trinity, but then, you know, peace with our schedules, peace with our activity levels, which is different, actually, what we're doing and how organized we are about it. They're 2 separate things. Peace with the resources we have, peace with our modern culture and institutions, which actually includes our church. So, like you're saying, peace with how things are going in that synod and how the church is going to be guiding us. And then just peace with our physical surroundings. So the 100 meditations are all grouped around these 7 different categories so that readers hopefully will encounter them and say, oh, yeah, my household is just not peaceful right now. Maybe what I need to do is go around and you know, organize the clutter I mean, an organized space really does help. It helps me anyway to focus on what's important and make sure that I'm peaceful as I approach making dinner, approach, mm-hmm. you know, getting my husband off on a road trip or something like that. So each of the meditations is going to go through that sort of thing. There's one just on the joy of the Lord, and of course it takes from Pope Francis, where he's so big on helping us understand joy. But it says, just let me read this one sentence here for you. It says, a faith that is authentic, beautiful, and attractive does not introduce itself remotely through rules and regulations, but intimately through love and joy. It is neither caught up in nor brought down by arguments. And in that particular one, I'm really encouraging the readers to think about how they're engaging with other people when issues of the faith come up. You know, are they allowing, say, someone else who's very argumentative to take them down, to get them caught up, or are they just joyfully believing in the Word of God and the faith that they have and that God will reach this person, that he will love this person for them, rather than laying down, well, that's not what the church teaches, kind of first-step approach.
Yeah, and that's so, so important, because we're not going to win people with arguing. And actually, the Pope just talked about that in one of his homilies this week. And not that you don't defend the faith, but especially you have to meet people where they're at.
Yeah, it's just rules, regulations, they're very remote to people who don't practice the faith and haven't learned to love, you know, that guidance that comes through the rules and regulations. So,
yeah.
You know, we got to get more intimate. We got to get more loving. Find the joy in whatever it is that's going on in their life and point that out. You know, be capable of being intimate with them, even
Absolutely.
Though, you know, we don't agree.
Right. Absolutely. And build a relationship. Okay, let's take a quick break, Heidi. It's 8:46. We're talking with Heidi Brenton out of her beautiful new book. It's so, so, so great. It looks like it's pocket-sized, too, from what I'm seeing.
It is. Fits in your purse. So
fits
nice.
In your purse. Okay. Finding Peace in Everyday Challenges. Who's the publisher?
The Word Among Us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got a book coming out with Word Among Us next year.
Aren't they lovely?
I love them. They're great. That's They're terrific. I'm excited to get the book on the saints. So maybe you could endorse it for me.
Send it over. I'll find the time.
Okay. All right, we'll open up the phone lines, too, if you have a question for our guest, Heidi Brenton, speaker, mom, and author. Her latest book, Finding Peace in Everyday Challenges, Beautiful Meditations for All Women, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Don't lose your peace. We'll be right back.
St. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Awake, O sleepers, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you life." If you know an eighth grader or a high schooler who needs a faith awakening, then invite them to the Lift Jesus Higher rally happening this November on Saturday, November 7th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. For more information about the youth rally, you can go to ljhrtoledo.com. That's ljhrtoledo.com.
WeatherGuard has been protecting Michigan homes for nearly three decades. But what about the earth, our common home? With the latest innovations in windows and insulation, WeatherGuard is dedicated to products that last well beyond the low standards set by our throwaway culture and are carefully engineered to cut energy costs and reduce the impact we have on our common home. Visit WeatherGuard.com to get a free estimate and learn how you can do your part to reduce energy consumption. We're WeatherGuard, and we're here to protect your home.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
Hold me, Jesus.
you give that I need. And I beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And the Salvation Army.
Love that song, Rich Mullins, Hold Me Jesus, Be My Prince of Peace. That's what this book is about, finding peace in everyday challenges. And Jesus Christ is peace, He is mercy, and He is love. 877-573-7825. Heidi Bratton's book, Finding Peace in Everyday Challenges, endorsed by the one and the only Father John Ricardo, also Debbie Herbeck and Lisa Hendy. And so all you Father John Ricardo fans definitely want to get a copy of this book, and I know there are tons of them out there. 877-573-7825. Okay, I can't believe we're getting toward the end, Heidi, of October, which means, of course, we're already starting to see the Christmas decorations in the stores and the malls, which is nuts. But people are already starting, including myself and my husband, because we're all busy, to get their different gatherings and dinners with friends on the calendar now, because we're all so crazy around the holidays. It just seems to get crazier and crazier when Advent is actually supposed to be like Lent.
Yeah, peaceful.
Peaceful. And it's not.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for moms, especially going into the holiday season?
Well, one of the meditations here is really appropriate to this season, and it's called Baskets Full of Time. It's a concept that we each have 24 hours, right? That's what we've been given. Every day we wake up, we have 24 more. And what the Lord wants us to do in those 24 hours is going to look different for each of us. So the first thing to do is just stop and realize that I have a different use of those 24 hours than, say, you do or someone else does. So what is it? The question is not how much can I get done? Can I do as much as my friend? Or, you know, can I get away with doing nothing today? But what is it that God wants me to do in these 24 hours? That's like the first question to be asked. And once we kind of had a sense of what that is, and usually we all have kind of regular duties and responsibilities, right? We say, Lord, have I added anything into this day that's not of your will? I think it's there, but is it not of your will? And can I take it off? Because sometimes, honestly, we're trying to do too much in 24 hours. We just are. Mm-hmm. My dad used to have a saying. He said it's like trying to pack 10 pounds of flour in a 5-pound sack. So the very first thing to do is just say, are all the things that I am hoping to do actually being asked of me by God, or am I adding in, or are other people adding in things, and I have to simply say no, the power of no, right? I think Lisa Hendy talks about that in her The Grace of Yes book a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have to do that. So just don't let yourself feel as if you are a victim of your activity level. You're not. You actually can say no to things, and you can actually make some choices based on prayer when you start the day, when you start the season. You know, just quick example, we have a really busy family life this fall, and so I looked at one of my son's schedules. He's 7, and I said, you know what? His soccer practices are in the evening from 6 to 8 o'clock. There's no way we're going to have any family dinner time at all if he does that practice. And he was the one who's young enough, he can do soccer next year. It's okay. He didn't have to do that, and so we took it off our plate.
But see, that's a great example. And sometimes I don't think enough parents are willing to do that because they think they're depriving their children of something.
And you feel that. I felt that. I really do. I have to battle that. But again, you say, but the bigger picture is I want to have at least one family dinner each week, you know? What's the bigger goal? What's the bigger picture? I am not a victim here to the fact that everybody needs to learn to play soccer, say, for example. I can make a choice. So, you know, as we're looking at the holidays, that's the first thing I'd say. There's this idea of I have 24 hours. Think of it like this. If it were a loaf of bread and you sliced it into 24 pieces, right, and each of those pieces went to something you needed to do, well, as you're actually slicing and eating, a couple crumbs are going to fall, right? They're going to crawl out, especially if it's like a good Italian loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And well, is there any way, first of all, for you to take some of those crumbs? Because I think if you did, you took them and you gathered them up, you might have another entire loaf, another hour, say, to do something you wanted. Well, those crumbs represent concrete things we do, like time on Facebook, time just perusing the news, time where we're not actually choosing, oh, I'm going to go on Facebook right now. We're just kind of randomly doing it, right? They're like lost crumbs of time that mm-hmm. we could recover. And that's not to say anything negative about being involved in those activities, but again, what choice are you making? to be involved. Maybe you really would rather walk the dog and have a conversation with your neighbor because you haven't seen him and it's Advent and you want to invite him to church. Well, you know what? You've got to get off your social media, get the dog clipped, and get on that walk.
Right.
That's how we're going to...
And I think the making choices is really important and discerning. And you just have to have that time. You have to find that time to make the right decisions and to spend time with God, especially during these seasons that we have, these beautiful liturgical seasons, or you're going to get burned out. You just are.
Yes. And that's it. There's so many wonderful things to do. I call it having good problems. You know, we have so many wonderful things to attend, but you just can't do them all. You just can't. So for this season, look ahead. What ones will you do? And then do them joyfully. Do them happily, not complaining about how busy you are or what you couldn't do, but just be there. That's the peace. And that's in this book. I'm just trying to really help women to see, you know, Jesus is my peace. When I start with him in the morning, when I whisper his name in the middle of a relationship conflict, when I continually say, what, Lord, how do you come in? How do I give out in this situation? That's when we find that we're capable of being more peaceful than we might have been if we hadn't just started with the Lord and kept him in every circumstance as we walk through our days.
Yeah, absolutely. Heidi, thanks so much, and God bless you with this book, Finding Peace in Everyday Challenges. Thanks for writing it again. It's got some great endorsements from our very own Father John Mercado, Debbie Herbeck, of course, Renewal Ministries right here in southeastern Michigan, and Lisa Hendy, who is awesome with CatholicMom.com. How do we get the book, Heidi?
It is at Our Lady of Grace, and, of course, Word Among Us website, Amazon, anything like that. You can order it at any bookstore, but Our Lady of Grace has it.
All right, honey. And you're speaking, you've got a homeschooling conference coming up pretty soon, right?
I do, in 2 weeks, yeah. Some beautiful young women who are taking this peaceful approach to educating their kids and looking ahead. They don't have the school-age kids yet, but they want to know getting there.
And your website real quick?
HeidiBratton.com.
That's easy, BRATTON, HeidiBratton.com. Up next, Matt Swaim, Father Andrew Small, and a brand new NFP program we'll tell you all about. Stay tuned, the last hour and the National International Hour of Catholic Connection coming right at you. We'll be right back.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Life-changing,
uplifting,
awesome experience,
the best time ever.
This is just a sampling of what people said after attending the Lift Jesus Higher Rally last year.
Well, the Lift Jesus Higher Rally is back again at the Seagate Center on Saturday, November 7th.
Join us and listen to great Catholic speakers.
Hear inspiring music.
Share time with Bishop Daniel Thomas.
Come and encounter the living God.
Go to LJHRToledo.com. That's LJHRToledo.com and register today.
I'm Reno Fursita, founder of Smart Money Financial Advisors. A few months ago, I said that this year would look very different than the last year as far as the investment climate. And although things already have been pretty different, I believe this is the tip of the iceberg, that we're in the early stages of a major decline that'll be reminiscent of the last financial crisis. And the only difference is that this time, things may not come back as quickly as they did the last time. And my question to you is, are you going to take action to protect everything that you've worked for? Or are you just going to wing it and then hope and pray that everything comes back for you? You owe it to yourself to take advantage of the products and strategies that are readily available that are designed to grow your money in a safe and smart way. I help people every day do just that, and I'd be happy to work with you as well to do just the same. To speak with me directly, call 248